Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
This segment of the show is brought to you by Hall & Company CPAs and features David and Paul Karofsky, and they're joining us from the Transition Consulting Group in Framingham, Maine, or Massachusetts, excuse me. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for joining us, and we're going to talk about the best practices for family businesses, which I think is phenomenal. Our audience is largely age 50-plus business owners, and before we get into that, I'd love to hear more about each of your personal professional backgrounds and how you started the Transition Consulting Group.
Sure. This is Paul. I'm the dad. David's the son, and I grew up in a family business. I was a third generation. Had the joy of working with my dad, my mom, my grandmother, her second husband, my uncle, and a cousin. And sure know what the world of family business is like. Our industry changed dramatically, and I opted to sell the business. I had control at that point in time, and I opted to sell it. And I went back to graduate school while David and his sister were still in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I focused on the relationships, psychosocial lives of families, intergenerational relationships. Mm-hmm. And after completing with a new piece of parchment and some life experience, I spent 14 years in an academic setting and also did consulting and speaking and writing. And it has been a joy and a whirlwind.
And so, and this is David, and so I also grew up in the family business, but as my dad was saying, he sold it when I was a junior or senior in high school. So although I was able to work there in the summers and vacations, didn't really have the opportunity to work there full time. So I went off and had a little bit of a different career. I'm kind of a consummate Generation Xer. I'm 43 years old. I've had multiple careers. I have both a master's in counseling as well as an MBA, and I've done everything from counsel kids in a juvenile prison to work in real estate development, to work for a large Fortune 500 tech company doing marketing and worldwide operations. And then I had the as he would say it, and I would say it too, I would agree, that I had the pleasure of joining my dad in our family business, consulting to other family businesses.
That's fantastic. So you guys understand the phrase, happy Thanksgivings forever.
we not only understand it, Bill, we try and live it. We try and live it in our own lives. And what's unique in our consulting practice is we are a family business, and we bring that father-son dynamic to our clients right to their desk. And so, you know, we're able to sit there and talk about our experiences, our best practices, be able to talk and understand both their multi-generational challenges, because we live it and understand it as well.
Well, I like the fact that you are a family business and you help family businesses. So tell our listeners, what do you do at Transition Consulting Group? How do you explain it to a new potential customer?
Dave, you got the elevator pitch.
So it's funny. I was listening to the woman before, and she was talking a lot about networking, and I think she made some great points. And so if I'm at a networking event, I'll often, the first thing I'll say is we are a family business, working with family businesses, but we work on the hardest part. We work on the family. And anybody who's been in a family business and anybody who knows a family business knows that there definitely are challenges when you bring both family and business together. And so we really help the family build alignment, improve communication, and deal with the family stuff as it relates to the business. Because if a family can't gain alignment and build a vision for the future as it relates to their family within the business, it's very tough to address the business challenges as well.
Yeah. The value systems of business and of family are really disparate. In families, it's about unconditional love. if there are three cookies on the table and three kids at the table, each kid gets a cookie. It's not necessarily that way in a family business.
You're talking about treating kids equally as opposed to treating them fairly, right?
That's right. And equal and fair in family are synonymous. Mm-hmm. They're not in business.
Yes.
They're not in business.
That's a very difficult thing for most business owners in family businesses to deal with. What are the topics of greatest concern to your clients present?
I think the one of the greatest we're seeing right now because of the aging of the baby boomers is the succession from one generation to the next. Mm-hmm. When will the younger generation be able to take hold? And for the seniors, when will they be able to let go? And how does that occur? We try to help it like as though we're a relay race. So there's a passing of the baton, and it becomes rather seamless and rather exquisite. As one takes hold more and more, the other lets go more and more. Research shows that sudden succession is less likely to succeed than a gradual succession and a planned succession.
Yeah, I think mm-hmm. one of the trends we're seeing, Bill, is that over the next decade or so, you're going to see the largest transfer of wealth in the history of our time. As the baby boomers are coming of age and getting a little bit older, as the next generation is starting to get a little bit older and come into that leadership position, this transfer of not only monetary wealth, but you're talking about the businesses, the assets, whatever it might be, there needs to be a plan to transfer that seamlessly. And to my dad's point, the more planning you do and you talk about it as to what that transition of ownership looks like, what is that transition of leadership, and they're not; those two are not the same. They can be they can be similar in tie, but they can be mutually exclusive as well. But until you really have a plan as to how you transfer that business from one generation to the next, it's very difficult to do it. The statistics are stacked against you. Statistics show that only about a third of family businesses successfully make it through a second generation. And then of those, about 10% successfully make it through a third generation. So although there are some legendary companies out there like the Avida Zildjian Company who make the cymbals in most of the guitar sets you see out there, they're in their 15th generation. They're the anomaly. They have broken and shattered the odds, and we want to help families do that.
That's a great point. We're going to take a short break for 1 minute. We're going to come back and talk to you about some client stories and tips and ideas and precautions for our listeners. We'll be right back.
Business succession and exit planning is hard, and everyone says you should start early. But where can you hear a lot of ideas from a lot of professionals so you can decide what's best for you? At ExitCoachRadio.com, we're interviewing over 150 advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions. We upload new 1 minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Want to grow the value of your company? Start with the values of your company. To stand out in today's overly commoditized world, your company must stand for something bigger than what you make. That's the work of Values Institute. Our social science model of values-based culture development will help you grow the value of your company by growing trust, your most valuable corporate asset. To learn more about our proprietary process, visit thevaluesinstitute.org and start growing the value of your business today.
Welcome back, friends. Just a reminder that we've interviewed dozens of advisors on a wide variety of topics, and you'll find all of their interviews and highlights online at exitcoachradio.com or on iTunes at itunes.exitcoachradio.com. I'm talking with David and Paul Karofsky from the Transition Consulting Group, and you guys are making some outstanding, excellent points about the passing of the baton. It's one thing to say you're going to own stock in the company and you'll take it, but what about the task transition, and what about the dad that keeps passing the baton, but and the son thinks he's in control, and then the dad yanks it back? How do you deal with that kind of a situation?
Well, it's actually funny you say that because the client story that I was going to tell is actually about two brothers who wanted to be able to pass the business down to their two sons. And the challenge there was actually somewhat of what you're describing, is that until the fathers, in this case, until the two brothers who own the business 50-50, until they feel that the sons are ready to take hold and are showing them that they are, in fact, doing that, the fathers are never going to let go. And so, and that can be demonstrated in many ways. One of the things we often talk about with our clients is this quote-unquote owner mentality, that so much of our lives in business is spent in a particular silo. You're in marketing, or you're in sales, or you're in distribution or manufacturing or whatever, and you work that silo. But as an owner, it's your responsibility to look, well, we say horizontally, look across your organization. And until the fathers see their sons looking horizontally and thinking as owners, being there early, staying late, picking up the trash on the ground, whatever it is, those are little examples, but until having that relationship with the banker and the accountant and the lawyer and being part of that, until they start to think and act that way, the fathers are always hesitant to let go of the business. And so in this example, I recently worked with a client. It was two brothers and two sons in a large manufacturing facility. And the brothers were getting older, and they were ready to take the business, and they had to make a decision. Do we sell it, or do we pass it down? And in the work that we did some individual interviews, and then we did some work together, both with the sons individually, with the fathers individually, and then with the four of them together, to craft a plan. What does that transition plan look like? And it's about a 15-year, believe it or not, plan of ownership and leadership. The first five is really a leadership transition, but the ownership transition in terms of a buyout is going to take upwards of 15 years, because that's how in the father's mind, in this case, the sons had to earn the business. They had to have skin in the game. And so that's what we did in this particular example.
And it's a great joy when it's a success. So we want to be around in 15 years to drink the champagne
right.
with them.
Yeah,
I get into a lot of situations, and dad has told the son, you're going to drive. But guess what dad keeps doing? Grabbing the wheel.
Yep.
And the son keeps going, wait, I thought I was going to drive here. And there's that difficult, awkward transition period, and it could last, a couple months to a couple years, and it burns out some families at some point, doesn't it?
That's right. And the trick there, Bill, is to understand what's holding dad back. Why is he reluctant to let go? Is there nothing else in his life? Is he not in sync with his spouse? Is it a need for money?
Mm-hmm.
Or does he not feel that his son or daughter is able to take hold right now?
Right.
And 9 times out of 10, it's the latter.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's one of the things you said is it may be that's his retirement plan. The business, the future business, is a retirement plan, and he's nervous that if this business, we've just been through some tough times too. So a lot of people are saying, "I just got it back to where I feel comfortable about it," but I'm still nervous. Or they train the son to come up and be the sales guy, and now the son's out doing sales, but David, like you said, but he's not able to yet pay attention to all the other areas, and dad's watching that, going, "We could be in trouble."
Well, that's right, and that's why there needs to be a plan in place. That if the son only knows sales, it's his responsibility and management and the father's responsibility to make sure he's getting exposed to the areas of the business.
Yeah. Plus, it's likely that the younger generation is going to be more comfortable with risk and taking chances and trying out new ideas than the senior generation will.
Mm-hmm.
They may be pretty comfortable the way things are right now, and they're not interested in a new product line or a new marketing strategy or a new computer system or whatever.
They also may have a very different perspective as to how the business is run. That historically, let's go back 30 years ago, the Internet didn't exist, or at least not for the general public.
Right.
And, email didn't exist. And so how business was done is you had to physically be there. Well, our world has gotten a lot smaller over the last several years, and the way you work, you can go home at 4 and coach your kid's Little League game and then get on and do work from 10 to midnight, but no one sees you.
Right.
So the question is he working or isn't he working? And what's the perception of that person within the company as well.
That's a great point. Great point. So let's move to client stories. If you could just share with us an example of a client that came to you and what you did for them and what was it like after you were working with them for a while.
Dad, why don't you share that five shareholder?
We worked with five siblings who were heirs to a substantial family business. And each of the five had a different perspective on what this business could do, would do, and should do, both for them individually and for their own immediate families and for the company at large. So when you've got five shareholders and five entirely different perspectives, the trick there is to help them gain alignment. And we met individually with each family member. We understood husbands and wives, because spouses were an integral part of this, and there were three sisters and two brothers. And as we met with them, we gained an understanding of what their individual desires, concerns, and expectations were around taking this business forward, if in fact it was going to go forward. And after we performed the individual interviews, we brought the family together and we discussed themes. We didn't say that Bill said that or David said this. It was a question of there are themes around shareholder value. There are themes around responsibility and roles. There are themes around compensation and dividend distribution. And we were able to surface all of those. And then we're able to break down into smaller groups, as we saw, for example, one brother and sister were particularly misaligned. And their misalignment went back to adolescence, when the sister was born first, the brother born second, and how he felt neglected and always had to make his mark and be different and do something outside of the box, and ultimately got himself into some legal trouble, but you know, straightened out. And so the conflict between the two of them was particularly intense. David, in fact, helped break up a fight when a brother-in-law, David, 6'3" and 200 pounds. Well, picture this 6'5", 350-pound guy ready to jump across the table and strangle his brother-in-law by the throat. And somehow, miraculously, without getting injured, David was able, using his words, he was, you know, as the parents of the kids say today, use your words. You know, he used his words and he calmed them down. And believe it or not, at the end of the meeting, these two big strapping guys hugged one another.
Mm-hmm.
It was miraculous.
Well,
so the business is still going. We meet with the family from time to time and help them keep alignment, because we were able to work on a foundation of basic goals. If they're in sync on basic goals, they can move forward with the strategies to achieve those goals.
Yeah, you brought it right down to the basic building blocks and built it back up from the ground up, and I think that's
exactly
what you have to do.
That's exactly right.
Exactly. Yep.
So let me ask you a question. What's it like for you two to work together in a father-son team? How unique is that, and how are you dealing with these issues?
I think we're the only ones doing it, and for me as a dad, who had the joy of working with my father, and we had a wonderful, wonderful relationship, a great working relationship, a very precious father-son relationship. And when I sold the business, one of my greatest regrets was that I didn't think I'd have the opportunity to be able to give my kids the same chance to work with me, and I wouldn't have had the same joy to work with them. So when David said he wanted to join me and I asked him to join me, it was kind of a mutual decision. For me, in many ways, it was a dream come true, and we love it. I love him dearly, give him a big hug and a kiss when I greet him, even in front of a client, and it's the way we work together, and we talk.
Right.
We talk after a meeting. Dave, how did it go? Dad, how did it go? Gee, you did this, I was a little concerned. You did that, I was a little concerned. Let's talk it out. Let's work it out.
The key there, Bill, is that we communicate. And I think if you were to ask me what's the number one issue or challenge that we see in our clients, it's the inability or the difficulty to they have in communicating effectively,
right,
by far.
Right.
And probably you could say that across business in general.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when it comes to family, it represents a whole different set of challenges. And so for my father and I, we communicate. Even sometimes you might say we over-communicate. But there's never anything left on the table, or there's never a question as to how either one of us felt about a situation.
Well, the difficulty is that you when you go to work, you can put on the sales manager or vice president or president hat,
right,
but you can never take off the father and son hat. That
right,
always stays on, and people, you know, that's what we hear a lot, is the business is here to provide us with things and wonderful experiences and to employ people, but our main goal is back to that happy Thanksgivings. You know, and we're not experiencing that. We're on a bad path for that. And so what you do is incredibly valuable and important work to help people break it down and build it back up if it's broken.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, it's been a lot of fun having you guys on the show. It's great information. We just have about 1 minute left. Could you give us a tip or idea or precaution for our listeners as they think towards their transition planning?
Sure. You want to go, Dad, or do you want me to?
Sure. Yeah, number one is plan.
Yep.
Number two is plan. Number three is plan. But it's about, as David said, it's about communication. Our physical bodies gave us the greatest hint. We've got two ears and one mouth, and we need to use them proportionately. Listening is absolutely paramount, and verifying, validating, making sure we understood what the other person said. Stephen Covey said it best, seek first to understand, then to be understood. And I guess the third point I'd make is manage expectations. Anticipate the reaction that you're going to have. If you're going to present a new idea or you're going to discuss something that may be sensitive and delicate, before you make your presentation or offer your remark or engage in conflict, anticipate the consequence of it. Anticipate what the other person's going to hear and how they're going to react to it.
Great information, great tips. How do people get in touch with you? You have a great website. How do they find you?
So the best way to find us is on the website. Our web address is www.fortcg.com. That's 4TCG.com. There's plenty of information. There's certainly ways to reach us by phone through there. To us, that's probably the best way to get a hold of us.
Or just Google Transition Consulting Group.
Yep, you
okay,
can do that. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Twitter. We're all over the place as well. And we have a blog that we would love people to join and listen into that we publish a couple of times this month with some great tips as well.
Excellent. Great information. I hope you guys will come back and join me again sometime. We'll get deeper into these topics. Thanks very much for joining me today.
Thanks,
Bill.
Thank
you, Bill. It's a pleasure.
I've been talking with David and Paul Karofsky of Transition Consulting Group. Please get in touch with them if you have issues and you want to learn more about how to make your family business transition successful. Well, my friends, that's going to do it for our show today. I want to thank you for listening in today, and I hope you've learned something that will help you in some way with your future planning. A big thank you to my guests and to our sponsors, the Values Institute, Hall & Company, Olive Crest, J.K. Murphy & Associates, and I want to thank our station engineer, Paul Roberts, who's done his usual outstanding job at the board. Flawless day today, Paul. And OCTalkRadio.net for hosting us at their beautiful tech-based studios here in Costa Mesa, California. Remember, we update content daily, so please visit us often and tell your friends to find us at exitcoachradio.com or on iTunes at itunes.exitcoachradio.com, because we're here to help you, our hero, the private business owner, with tips, ideas, and precautions so that you are well planned.
At ExitCoachRadio.com, we're interviewing over 100 top advisors to get you one-minute tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new content daily at 6 a.m. and 1 p.m. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute. Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.